I love watching the Holy Spirit pull things together. Every one of those songs just was perfect, just perfect. As Aileen said, Jamie Wadley was going to be your teacher today. And what time is it? I guess I knew at this time yesterday that I was going to be up here, but I had somebody at my house all day, and I was teaching a class on sewing. We were sewing. And when Aileen called me, or when did you call me? That morning? Was it yesterday morning? I had no idea what I was going to teach, but I knew what I had been living. And I knew what the Lord had been telling me, and it's just like Him. And I was so excited. I didn't know the first two songs that we sang today, but that first one, Standing Here in Your Presence, and I just wrote down the gist of it, but I loved it because this person that wrote the song is declaring that they are going to stand in front of God, and they're going to worship Him for who He is. And then they start naming that He's holy and righteous, that He's a Savior, that He's faithful to the end, that He's the healer and the redeemer and the friend. And that word stand is, that's the deal. That's where I've been living lately. So please bear with me if this is a little bit scattered, but everything that we go through is common to man, is it not? The enemy's deal is that he wants you to feel like you're the only jerk in the joint. Well, you're not. It's full of jerks. The world is full of fearful people. The world is full of brave people. And from time to time, whatever we are in that moment, we're not alone. It's common to man. And I have been going through, since June, well, longer than that, an extremely gripping, fearful time. And it is something that I am trusting the Lord to deal with, and the emotions of it, but my spirit is doing the right thing, but it's still scary, and it still makes my guts go like that, and that's what I've been dealing with. And so as the Lord's been ministering to me and showing me how to walk through it, that's just what I want to tell you. So I'm not telling you all this to say that I have conquered this, but I'm trusting, well, I'm not trusting, I know this is common to man. And every one of us goes through fear at some point in our life for some reason or another. And sometimes it's because somebody just looked at you and went, boo. And sometimes it's because there's some massive thing looming out there that's very real and very scary. So that's what I'm going to talk about today, is standing. So I love, thank you for listening to the Holy Spirit. Father, you are faithful to the end. You have loved us with an everlasting love, and you have drawn us with that loving kindness of yours, that heart toward mankind. You've never once forgotten what we're made of. And you are constantly, Lord, commanding us not to be afraid, but to take courage. And I praise you, Lord. Oh, I just praise you from the depth of my soul for loving me enough to reveal yourself to me and to remind me that you're righteous, to let me see that you're holy, that you are the creator of everything, and that you are intimately acquainted with all of our ways. Father, I pray that your word would go out today in the way that you intend for it to, that it would be your heart expressing it. I pray, Father, that our ears would be able and anxious to receive what you have for us in that good way. And we're going to trust you, Lord, with every moment of our life, every breath. And we're going to trust you with your word, Lord, that it will accomplish in our hearts what you want it to. I thank you, Lord, that your word restores my soul, that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I praise you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit comforts me, that your heart of love guides me, that you speak into my ear, turn to the left or turn to the right. And I praise you, Lord, that when you ask us and indeed command us to stand, you don't leave us there. You give us your strength that enables us to stand when we want to cower, when we want to run and hide. I praise you, Lord, that you have not left us alone, but you've given us the promise of your Spirit, that he's come, he dwells in us, Lord. He gifts us, equips us, enables us, comforts us. Oh, I praise you, Lord. Father, I thank you that you are holy. We look to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, sometimes I don't like to share too many details of a personal account because I want you to be able to apply your own situation to it. So I think I'm going to do some generalities, but basically, I don't know how to do that. In June, I lost my job. Now, I had been praying for a long time to be able to go home again, because my heart is to be home. I'm willing to work, you know, but it's way more fun to just bake. Well, no, I hate to bake. Why did I say that? Susie Homemaker. So, yeah. And through the years, I haven't had jobs because I just think, woohoo, I want to be a career woman. It's because my husband has asked me to, you know, help. And that has been my way of being a helpmate. But anyway, I lost my job, and it was unexpected. And so I applied for unemployment. I hadn't even thought to do that. I've never done unemployment before in my life. But Brian said, I'd like you to do that, and I didn't want to do it. I was afraid to do it, and I knew that if I did it, there would be a battle. And the battle would be that my former boss would contest it. And that's exactly what happened. So I got the letter, you know, stating that I'd been approved, that it seemed that everything was hunky-dory. And so I had to start doing these weekly claims. Has anybody done unemployment? Do you know how it works? Yeah, so every week they send you a thing, and then you communicate back, yeah, I was able to work, but I didn't work, and I didn't find a job, and blah, blah, blah. So I began to do that process. And I don't know how long it normally takes to start getting checks, but and we weren't desperate. You know, it's not like we were anyway. So then about, I don't know, 6 weeks into it, I still hadn't gotten a check, but I got a note saying that there was a possible problem with the unemployment claim, and I don't know why, but those things started making my guts wrench. I didn't like it. And I like to be at peace with all men. I do not like conflict. I detest it. I hate disunity in the body of Christ. And my former boss is a believer. And I hated that there was this conflict, and now there was this state entity pulled into it. And the enemy knew that I hated that and began to heap accusation and condemnation, and I didn't recognize it at the time. But it just began to, my guts just started wrenching because of that. And I couldn't stand it, and it just got worse and worse and worse. So anyway, the communications, they tell you to keep sending in your weekly thing, but that now you're going to have a hearing. And that legal word just, you know, really messed me up. It's just silly. All it was a phone call. And it said, we are going to call you, and we're going to ask you questions. But the enemy used that to just do a number on me. So my first phone call was in August. And the thing was determined that they ruled in my favor. So then they started sending me the checks. But my former boss had the opportunity to appeal the decision, which he did. And now began the second set of letters. And they were even more legal. And they said that there would be another hearing and that I could call witnesses if I wanted, and I could subpoena people, and I would be sworn in. And for some reason, just the thought of, and typically those, well, I don't know what typical is, but usually it's done one of two ways, either over the telephone, like via a conference call, or you go to the state somewhere and you sit down around a table with your accusers. And I just couldn't stand it. I pretty much went over the deep edge as far as just always, the fear never left me. And I told my husband, I said, this is stupid. And I was in the Word, and I was in prayer, and I was reading what it said about armor. But it was what it was. You know, it was just an area that I couldn't get past. And I was talking with a woman about it, about just that feeling, because my heart was racing and had been racing since June, and it wouldn't stop. And I would lay down at night, and I felt like I was going to have a heart attack. And it scared me. And I don't go to the doctor for things like that, because I don't. You know, I knew what it was. I knew it was fear, and I wasn't going to go to the doctor. So I was talking to this woman who also deals with stress and had been dealing with stress in a way that, you know, made her anxious. And she was suffering physical effects in her body, and she did go to the doctor because the things that showed up in her body were different. And they were the kind of things that say, get to the doctor, have this checked. So I was asking her one day, I said, you know, what's the deal with this? What is the deal with this? I'm a believer. I know who I belong to. I know what the scripture says. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm doing that. I'm praying. I'm not bitter. I'm not mad at my former boss. But this adrenaline just wouldn't stop. And she started talking to me about the hormones of that, what it does to your body, and how it's that flight thing that makes you feel like you need to run away, because something scary is going to happen. And I could even sit down and logically tell you, here's the way it's going to work. There's going to be a phone call. And every time I'd think of it, it just wouldn't stop. So I was praying about the whole heart part of it. I was like, Lord, I need to know how to handle this. I need wisdom. And the Lord gave me some wisdom through that. But the phone call that I had, the second hearing, was just Tuesday. So I haven't worked since June 25th. And this hearing wasn't until November the whatever Tuesday was. So from then until Tuesday, that's how I've been. And never stopped loving Jesus, didn't stop praying, didn't stop seeking him, and yet that is what my body was going through, and my mind was at war. And there were a couple of times that I sent out a prayer saying, I need prayer. And it was because I was desperate, because I was not winning that battle. And so I got very attentive to the Lord to see what he might say to me through that. And that's what I want to share with you guys today, is just some of the stuff, most of the stuff, that he gave me to get through this thing. And these are all famous passages. You guys know them. Ephesians, that's the big one. Ephesians 6, starting with 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, stand firm. And then it describes the armor. Therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and petition. Pray at all times in the Spirit. So I was paying attention to that, and I was praying my way through the armor, you know, like all those godly people that went before us taught us to do. And I did that faithfully, but I still had that, you know, still had that. And so at that point, you just trust. You just trust. Okay, this is a thing I have to go through. It's kind of like labor. You know it's coming. You're not going to be able to get... It doesn't matter how many times you've done it. It doesn't matter if you're great at it. It doesn't matter if you teach it. If there's something in here, it's got to get out one way or another, no matter what the outcome. And there's that thing that's always out there that you have to go through one way or another. And you have to go through it. And you guys, our lives are filled with those moments and those times. If you think they're only about the fear, they're worthless. And if you think they're worthless, then you get discouraged. And if you get discouraged, you don't stand. You just cower. And this trial, I'll call it that, was particularly discouraging to me because the person that was on the other side of it was making accusations about me that were not true. And they were flat out lies. And I was shocked. I'm still shocked. And so then enters the, okay, if this is my brother in the Lord, you know what to do. Okay, so do you, it was just insane. I just felt like there was nothing I could do. Anyway. All of that messes with your head, and that's where I was. And I would read this passage, and in the meantime, I've told you guys before, I'm on Facebook, and I love Facebook for encouraging the body of Christ. And there is a pastor that we know that's starting a new work in New Zealand. He had been at the Bible College in Hungary. My daughter served with him there, and he and his wife and children have moved to New Zealand, and they're in the process of establishing a new Calvary Chapel Bible College there. Well, they've been going through some intense spiritual warfare. And my daughter, pulled up one of his teachings that he had done in the past on this passage in Ephesians. And she put a quote on her Facebook that I glommed onto because my spirit recognized the Lord is talking to me here. And what he said was, our ability to stand is solely determined by what we're wearing. He said, we are not called to fight. We are called to stand. And you cannot stand unless you're dressed appropriately. And the reason that we put the armor of God on is so we can stand. And I had told my husband before, so I emailed him and I said, you know, these words have been, the Lord has used these words to give me courage and to get me back up on my feet again. And it kind of reminded me of a horse that goes down or I remember watching this special several years ago on I think they call them the super obese people of America that are dying because they've gotten so large. They cannot get back up again. And they were interviewing this healthcare facility that was taking care of these people. And I remember the passion of the workers that just said, we've got to get them up. We must get them up. And I was, that's it, you guys. We are, when we are gripped with fear and we are down, we must get up. And the Lord was in the process of getting me up. And my husband is a gentleman, but he's also, he would say, you're being a wimp. You've got to get up and stand. You have to stand. You have to. And we use this phrase in our house lightly, usually with a twinkle, but we say, it's the law. You guys, you have to stand. You cannot cower. You cannot shrink back. You cannot cry in a corner. You must stand. We are called to stand. Why? Because our battle is not against our former boss. It is not people. It is powers and principalities in the heavenly places. Our struggle, hand-to-hand combat, is not flesh and blood, but rulers, powers, spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, we take up the full armor of God that we may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, stand. So in this process, I began asking the Lord, okay, what do I do with the physical part? And as I was talking to this other woman about stress and what it does to our bodies, and she was talking about that hormone that involves the adrenaline that makes you want to run screaming into the woods, I asked the Lord, what do I do with this? And he said, simply spend it. You got adrenaline? Use it. So I started walking every day. Because I figured, okay, if it's this flight thing, flee. Only don't run away, but use it. And it's something I've been convicted about for a long time, something I've been wanting to do, but I really don't like exercise. I think I've probably been very bold about telling you that I hate it. But for me, in this case, it became, if I don't, I'm going to have a heart attack and die. So I started walking, and in my walking, I would read the scripture first, and I would go and walk, and I would pray what I had read, and the Lord began changing my heart, changing my perspective, showing me how to pray, reminding me that my former boss is not the devil. He doesn't have authority over me. He doesn't have power over me, and yet I was living like he did, and that's idolatry. God says, thou do not have any other gods before him. And I was behaving in such a way that this brother in the Lord became the thing that I most feared. And it's because the enemy was feeding it. It's because the enemy hates me. He is the liar, the author of lies. He's the father of lies. If believers are lying about each other, it's for one of two reasons. Either they're filthy, rotten sinners who just are liars, or they're deceived. They've believed a lie, and they believe it to be true. Either way, that's God's business. My job is to stand in truth. Stand. Stand in truth. As I began to pray, as I was walking, I was just thinking about, having girded your loins with truth. So I'd be walking down the road, truth, and I would just think, truth. Lord, remind me of all the truth things that I can think of. And the first thing I thought of was that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. And then I thought of righteousness. Okay, what do I remember about righteousness? He is my righteousness. What about the good news, the preparation of the gospel, the shoes of peace? He is the Prince of Peace. He is the good news. It's all him. The helmet of salvation. He is my salvation. The shield of faith with which you can extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. You see, fear is the opposite of faith, and I wasn't holding it up, and I wasn't extinguishing, wasn't stopping any fiery darts, and they were piercing my soul, and they were wounding me, and they hurt. Because when people lie about you, it hurts. And I wasn't doing anything in my spirit to stop the lies, because I tend toward condemnation. I tend to believe it's all true, because see, the bottom line is, in my sin nature, I am a liar. See, we know that's truth, don't we? Because our righteousness is as filthy rags. I know that my sin nature is all those things listed in the scripture that'll send you to hell. But I'm not clothed in that. I'm not clothed in that. And taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So anyway, one day I came home from my walk and I picked up a book. And anyway, as I was walking, I was praying about these pieces of armor, that what those things are, that I am to have those things on me, the truth and the righteousness and the salvation and the gospel, all those things I'm to be clothed in. But as I was walking and praying and realizing that Jesus Christ is those things, I realized they're not just on us, they're in us, and we're in them, because we are standing in Christ. And anyway, I picked up a commentary about a week later, and that's exactly what it said, and I was so excited because I thought, oh, wahoo, you know, Holy Spirit revealed truth to me and had already prayed it through me, and that was the thing that started rescuing my soul. But anyway, I'm going to bounce back to 2 Chronicles, and this is another famous passage. What is this scripture here? This is the one where it's in the Bible, right? In the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles. This is the one where Jehoshaphat is afraid of the, I'm in 1 Chronicles, of the armies that have threatened him and said that they were going to come against him. And I was very encouraged. This is a passage that I've been encouraged by. This is 2 Chronicles 20. I've been encouraged by this passage many times over the years, and it was just a delight to go back through it again. 2 Chronicles 20 came about after this, that sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Meunites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. And then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram, and behold, they are in that place," which is down by En Gedi. "A whole bunch of people are coming against you." That's what he said. "Whole bunch of people are coming against you." And verse 3, Jehoshaphat was afraid. This is a king, you guys. King of Israel knows who his God is, knows what to do about it, knows his authority, knows his place, knows his job, knows his army. He was still afraid. And I love that this is recorded. Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord. That's what you do when you're afraid, ladies. You turn your attention to seek the Lord, because he will hear you, he will meet you, he will speak to you, he will equip you, he will accomplish what needs to be accomplished, and you will worship, and that's the deal. And that's what happens in this story. Jehoshaphat was afraid, turned his attention to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast. He got other people involved. He proclaimed a fast in all of Judah, the whole country. Guys, there are boogeymen out there. They're real. This wasn't a fake threat. This is a real threat. There's an army coming against him. They're real. They're bigger than us. They're going to slaughter us. Well, he didn't say that. That's me. So what does he do? He invites everybody to seek the Lord. This is what the king called. I love this. I wish he was our president. This is what we need to do. We need to seek the Lord. So they fasted. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord, They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court. And he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, art thou not God in all the heavens? He starts his fearful prayer by declaring who God is and how big he is. You're not just the God that sits on the table. You are the God in all the heavens. Aren't you that God? Yes, he is. Lord, the God of our fathers, art thou not God in the heavens? And art thou not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in thy hand, so that no one can stand against thee. Didst thou not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and give it to the descendants of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they lived in it, and have built thee a sanctuary there for thy name, saying, should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before thee, for thy name is in this house, and cry to thee in our distress, thou wilt hear and deliver us. So he's reminding God and himself, God, remember when you gave us this land and we built this temple, and you said that if we would just come before you and we would declare who you are, you would give us the land and you would protect us, and if bad things happen, you're going to hear our cry. So he's reminding himself, this is a promise of God, sword of the Spirit, word of God, ladies. You go to the Lord in your fear. You seek the Lord. You get other people involved, not to whine and cry with you, but to remind you of the truth of who God is and what he has promised us through his word. You promise you're going to hear us. You promise you're going to deliver us. And then he tells God what the problem is. Those bad guys over there are threatening us. It reminds me of Nehemiah. Got to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. And the bad kings around threatening him, governors. And he said, and he went to prayer. Go read those prayers in Nehemiah. Oh God, hear their threats. I don't have time for them. But do you see what they're saying about us in open letters and telling people? Lord, they're lying about us. And he did not leave his place to go argue. He just stood. He kept up with his work. And that's what this prayer is. Lord, behold, the sons of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, and then he reminds God, remember when the children of Israel came through here, they wouldn't even give them water. They didn't want to let them in. Lord, these guys, they're coming against us. And we didn't even come against them. Oh, Lord, will you not judge them? Verse 12, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude. What kind of commander-in-chief is this that would say, we're powerless? This is a smart one who knows that his power is not in his horses, his shields. His power is not in his numbers. His power is not in anything that has anything to do with the things of man. And that is the deal, you guys, because our battle is not flesh and blood. You and I are powerless before our enemy in our own. But we stand in Christ. He is in us. We are clothed with his armor. And it is his armor. This commentary I was reading, William Gurnall, I think it's called, Rosemary Gallatin, who went to be with the Lord yesterday, I think. Yeah. Yay, she sees his face. She recommended, it's a three-volume paperback commentary written by a dead guy. It's all about the spiritual armor. Get it if you can. It's really great. But he said, he talks about, it's not the armor of God so much that you need to pay attention to. It's the God of the armor. See, he changes your perspective. He gets you looking at God who gives you the armor. I remember several years ago talking to this woman about the armor of God and each piece and that kind of thing, and I was dealing with fear back then too. I guess it's part of my nature. It's one of my struggles, you know, it's what I deal with. But I remember we were talking about the armor, and she said that she likes to picture herself getting out of bed every morning and taking it out of the closet and putting it on. And I remember looking at her saying, why are you taking it off? Why would you take that off? We're not told to take it off and put it on and take it off. Put it on. Keep it on. Keep it on. Anyway. So Jehoshaphat is praying, and he asks God to see the enemy and to see what they're threatening, and that we are powerless. We are powerless before you, before that great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are on you. I love that. Lord, I am powerless. I cannot stop this adrenaline. I cannot stop what's happening. I can't fix this. And I don't know what to do. That's how Jehoshaphat prayed. We are powerless, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on thee. All of Judah was standing there before the Lord, their infants, their wives, their children. And then the Spirit of the Lord comes upon a man, a prophet, and he prophesies the word of God. And they were all waiting to hear because they knew their eyes were on the Lord. That's where their attention was, and they knew they needed to hear from the Lord. And so they were all paying attention, and he speaks in the second half of verse 15, and he says, "Do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." You guys all know that verse. We sing that verse. The battle belongs to the Lord. I don't care if you're walking down the road, doing a power walk, singing that song at the top of your lungs, you still feel afraid. I don't care what anybody says. It's truth, and you're declaring the truth, but you still feel afraid, or I did anyway. Felt silly, didn't care, but that is truth. And what that does is it just reminds me over and over again what truth is. It's not my battle. Now, if I were lying, then I would have reason to be afraid, you know. And as I would walk through the details of this with my husband, he would say, "Will you just, you know, just remember, it's just money. It's just money. And I'm not afraid of losing money. I'm not afraid of that. I've been there before. So if this thing goes against me, so what? You just pay the money back. Big deal. Do you think God's not going to provide for that? So what are you afraid of, Ruthie? What are you afraid of? Well, I don't. He believes lies about me. So he's believed a lie. God will fix that. My job is not to attack, not even to try to defend, because a lot, and here's what a thing I noticed about this battle. The things that I was lied about, they were in a letter. And they were written down, and I had it, and there it was, you know. And then a second copy came the next day, and then a third copy. And it's like, you know, the enemy is not content to kick you once. He wants to, and every time the letter, and that to add insult to injury. The first one I got had postage due on it. I'm not paying it. I'm not. Why should I pay for that? Please. I couldn't. That's funny. But it was filled. It was in a letter. And so, okay, I didn't even want to read the letter. I didn't want to. I was like, put it. I have to worship. You know, it's silly. It's just silly. But every time I'd read it, I would, you know, and then I would put it, I would just put it down, and Lord, this is your deal. I can't deal with this. And then I'd read it the next day. And that's how the enemy is. He is your accuser. And he's going to accuse you of things that are not true. And the thing that I started to do, and this is what would key me up, I would think I had to respond to each of those lies to correct them. And they were not related to my claim at all. One was about my daughter. One was about my husband. It was just filled with a bunch of mean stuff. And part of it really, really made me mad because people that I loved were being denigrated. People that I loved were being they were trying to tear down the character of my husband, and I was just appalled. And I thought I had to defend all of that. And I had Brian read it, and he My husband is not a good speller. And usually when he writes stuff, I edit it for him. He said, I want a highlighter and I want a pencil. So he started underlining, and he would write, lie, 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 lie. And he says to me, how do you spell whoop-de-doo? And then he writes, so I'm in the kitchen cooking dinner. And I'm going, W? I think there's an H, I'm not sure. Whoop-dee-doo. And I said, do you want whoop-dee-doo or whoopee-doo? It was that stupid, you guys. But all of those things got me laughing. You know, it's just, what are you going to do? But see, the enemy knows you. He watches your character. He knows how to push your buttons, and he knows how to scare you. And he knew how to scare me. And I was letting him scare me. So one of the mistakes that I was making was to think that I had to address each of those lies. That scared me. And the Lord showed me, you don't have to do any of that. The burden of proof is not on you. All you have to do is tell the truth. And that's what Brian said. Just answer the questions. That's all you have to do. That's what Nehemiah concluded. I don't have time to come and talk about all this. You're telling lies. And so that's what he did. So anyway, these guys, in Jehoshaphat's story, hear the word of the Lord through this man that says, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear. I'm willing to say to the Lord, I will obey that. But I don't know how to do it as far as the feelings part. And that's where you just trust the Lord. You trust the Lord to deal with your body, and he'll give you the wisdom to know what to do with the extra adrenaline that's pouring through it. Go spend it, you guys. If you have extra adrenaline making your heart race, go for a fast walk and use the energy. And then the endorphins kick in, and then you start to feel better, and you go, oh, this doesn't seem quite as scary as it did an hour ago. That's what the Lord started doing with me. That's a little side tidbit, you guys. Go walk. If you're a mom and you have kids and you have stairs, you go up and down the stairs during nap time. Do something to get up and stand. Do something to remind yourself of what truth is. Do not fear. My husband is always quick to remind me, fear is the opposite of faith. And do not fear. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. But, see, here's what, and I read this the first time the day before the phone call was going to happen. It says, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out to face them. I don't want to face things that scare me. I want to hide. I don't want to face it. Somehow, if you look at it, it will be worse. No, it never is. It never is. Maybe it is. But in my situation, it wasn't. But you have to face it. If you tend to be a coward, you don't ever want to face anything. You just want to bury your head in the sand. If you don't want to face the bill collectors, you're going to bury your head, and then you're not going to pay the bills, even if the money's in the account, because somehow fear has gripped your heart. You need to know that that fear is from Satan. And you need to stand. And the Lord will give you the courage to just take care of things. And it's really weird as you get into different phases of your life when your hormones are going crazy. Sometimes you just feel anxious all the time. It doesn't, the scripture doesn't say, walk in the Spirit unless you're afraid. It doesn't say walk in the Spirit unless you feel anxious or unless you have PMS. Walk in the Spirit unless the bill collector is, it doesn't say, you guys, we are not excused from being commanded not to fear. We are not excused from the command to stand simply because of whatever. Name, you fill in the blank. We're not excused from that. We are called to that. We are asked, we are commanded to go out and face it. And so, for the Lord is with you. That's huge. That's what gave Jehoshaphat courage. And the next thing that he does, he bows his head. This king worships his God. He bows his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, the sons of the Kohathites, these are the worship leaders, and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. And they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed." And you guys know the rest of the story. It says that he appointed those who sang to the Lord, and they led the procession down. And all those who praised him in holy attire, and they went out before the army. They still had to go. I'm sure their adrenaline made their hearts pump as they were walking down to that valley that bordered the wilderness. Do a study sometime on valleys. Different valleys. There's valley of weeping, valleys of bitterness, valley of blessing. This happened to be about a valley of blessing. This one ended up being a valley of blessing that brought very great spoil. And as they went out before the Lord, they said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting." And I started thanking the Lord for this thing I had to do that scared me to death. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to see you work in my life, that in a way that delivers me, in a way that reveals to me what the true battle is. Lord, thank you for my brother in the Lord that is believing a wrong thing. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would open his eyes. In the name of Jesus, I ask that you would set him free from the bondage that he is in because he is believing a lie. Father, in the name of Jesus, set me free from this fear that grips me. And forgive me, Lord, for my idolatry in allowing anything to come in between my looking at you. Lord, these are the things that I would pray as I was walking. And, you know, it disarmed. Back in July, I said to my dad, my boss scares me. And he said, now my dad, let me back up. My dad used to be a personnel director for the United States government in the Department of Agriculture. And he was raised in the ranks, and his job was to go all over the country and testify in court so that the government could properly fire people in a way that they didn't break the law. And it was my dad's job to go to he worked for the Forest Service. He would go to a particular forest, and he would document, okay, this person was told on this date that their review was not up to par, and he would make sure that all the ducks were in a row, and then they fired the person. And then when the person came against the government, my dad would be the one that would go to court and say, on this date and this date and this date, this supervisor told this person da 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 da. So my dad knows personnel issues. And I said to my dad, "Dad, Daddy, I said, my boss scares me." And he said, "He's not your boss. I don't work there anymore." He goes, "He's not your boss." And the Lord rebuked me very gently. Because, you see, I was obeying the enemy. I was believing a lie. And I was letting someone's threats have power over me in a way that kept me from obeying the Lord. And those simple words were like, oh yeah, okay. And the same way, you guys, sin is not your boss. Things, boogeymen in the night, they're not your boss. We are to fear the Lord in reverence and in worship. And Jehoshaphat went out to that valley, and they were singing. I'm sure their adrenaline was making their heart pump. And when they came and they looked down, they saw corpses. It wasn't their battle. It was the Lord's battle. The battle is not your business. Your business is to stand, clothed in the God Almighty. And when I was thinking about what Pastor Mark Walsh from New Zealand had said, that our ability to stand is directly related to what we are wearing, that we are not called to fight. We are called to stand. He then went on to talk about, because the battle is already won. Victory is done. It's finished. It was finished on the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to remember that Satan and his demons are created beings. They are not opposite of God. They're created. And as I was walking, you know, I would start declaring, oh, praise you, Lord Jesus, that you are going to judge sin and iniquity, and that Satan and his evildoers are going to be cast in the lake of fire forever by you. And I am his daughter. And my brother in the Lord that believes lies about me is not my enemy. And people that lie about you are not your enemy. The battle is not flesh and blood. It is powers and principalities in heavenly places, and that battle is won. Now, did that mean my heart stopped? No. I still had to get up in the morning, and I still had to have a conference phone call. And I was amazed because not one of those accusations that had been written were spoken. That amazed me because I know that this man, he loves the Lord. And I really do not believe that he would say those things if he didn't believe them to be true. And we were sworn in, and we had to tell the truth. He then brought three accusers against me, three office workers, and they were my friends. And I, when the man on the phone said, "Do you have any witnesses?" I said, "No, I don't." And then he asked the other person, "Do you have any witnesses?" He said, "Yes, I do. I have this person, and this person," and my heart sank. But you know what they testified to? Nothing. I sat there and listened. They didn't say one thing that was contrary to anything that I was saying. They told the truth. And the truth wasn't, it was just like, okay, so what? They stood in truth. There wasn't one thing that they said, even this man's wife, not one thing that was said and testified to went against anything that I was saying. And I sat there thinking, why were they even wasting the time of the adjudicator? Why were they doing that? I don't know, but it wasn't my business. My job was to simply stand and answer questions. Jehoshaphat goes down there, they see the enemy destroyed, and they took much spoil. There was this gripping fear, and he first ran to the Lord, and he said, "I'm afraid." Good thing to do, you guys. Just run to Jesus, run to Abba Father, and tell him, "I'm afraid, and I don't know what to do. I'm powerless against this." And he will speak to you, and he will show you what to do. And the first thing that he's going to tell you is, don't be afraid. He says it all the way through Scripture. Think of all the people in your mind, all the stories Moses, Gideon, Joshua, every one of those guys was afraid. Every one of them, they were all afraid. And every one of them was told the same thing. And they were not told that by God with God's derision. God does not say that to us with scorn, with disgust. He is not disgusted that you're his children are afraid. He just simply says, don't be afraid. And our job is to say, okay. So seek the Lord. You remember who God is. You remember whose we are. You remember who is the boss. You remember what he's done. He's, Lord, you've created the heavens and the earth. Lord, you cast the stars out. You told them to stay there and they did. And I belong to you. Nothing is too difficult. And then you listen to what his word says and you obey what he says. And then you worship. Remember when Jericho's walls came down? Were those guys fighting? No, they just were told, here's what I want you to do, children of Israel. I want you to get out every day, and I want you to just walk around these walls, and I want you to blow trumpets, and I want you to worship. And that's what they were doing. And then God brought the walls down. God brought the walls down. 2 Corinthians, this is another famous one. 2 Corinthians 10 says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. The weapons of our warfare are divinely powerful. That means they're not humanly powerful. And the purpose of them is to destroy fortresses. What fortresses? Well, one of the fortresses that has been in my life is a fear of man. Or fear of unreasonable things. Or fear of this or fear of that. That is a fortress, and it needs to be destroyed, and God is destroying it. And every one of you has your own fortresses that God is destroying. They're not human. They're divinely powerful to bring down fortresses. This passage goes on to say, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You guys know that passage. This warfare that we are in is simply standing, clothed in Jesus Christ, with the God of the armor on us and in us, breathing through us, and giving us courage. And in that, when we do that, when we seek the Lord, like Jehoshaphat did, God changes our perspective. He changes the way... the way we see. He changed for Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, he knew. He knew what he needed to be doing, what he needed to be looking at. He looked at the God of the universe. Remember when the king of Aram was warring against Israel, and the Israel's armies would always know what the king of Aram was going to do, and the king of Aram was getting really mad and said, What gives? Why do they always know where we're going to attack? And his advisor said, well, you see, there's this Elisha guy, and he hears the Lord, and the Lord tells him what you're going to do, and then he tells the army, and then the army can get ready. And that made this king of Aram very, very mad at Elisha, and he came after him. And it says that Elisha's servant went out in the morning, and he saw the armies completely surrounding them, he and his boss, Elisha, and he was afraid. And he said, alas, my master, what shall we do? And Elisha answers, do not fear. Well, that's going to do a lot. We're still surrounded. How are you going to deal with this? What should we do? Do not fear. Do not fear. That makes no sense. But that's what we're called to do. Stand up and do not fear. And then... Elisha says, because, and here's why. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. We have a bigger army. And the servant's like, where? They're not here. See, the problem was this guy did not understand that the battle was not flesh and blood. It was powers and principalities in the heavenly places. So Elisha prays. And he says, oh, Lord, I pray that you would open his eyes so he can see And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw. And here's what he saw. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha, not human. Not human forces, you guys. The battle is not flesh and blood, but powers and principalities in heavenly places. And when we come to the Lord, and when we cry out to him, and we say to him, Lord, we're distressed. And these guys are saying bad things about us. And we don't know what to do. We're powerless against them. He will speak to you the word of God. And at that point, you get up. You stand. You do not fear. You hold up that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and you obey it. And you do what he tells you to do. And he might tell you that you're going to go down tomorrow morning and you're going to face this. But you're not alone because I am with you. And you're going to get to see me fight the battle. It's not yours. Stay out of it. Mind your own business. It's not your business. That is his business, because it's a heavenly battle, and that battle is won by the blood of Jesus. The battle is not yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. So he changes our perspective. He opens our eyes. And we see, and it gives us courage. And what is there to do but say, wow? And you fall down and worship and you take the spoil. So Tuesday morning was also election. I found very fascinating because I had a yes on one thing in my front yard. And I went out to walk that morning because I had a battle coming at 11:15 or 15 minutes either side of it. So be prepared with all your paperwork and your witnesses. And as I was coming back from my walk, I looked at my yes on one, and it said, stand for marriage. And I thought, that's very interesting, Lord. The people that organized this, did they know that that's what they were saying when they picked that? Did they? I don't know if they did or not. But it's truth. We are called to stand. We are not called to fight the homosexuals of the world. We are not called to fight the people that don't want the loggers to cut the trees down. We are not called to fight all the Satanists of the planet. We are called to stand in truth and understand that our battle is not people, because if we think it is, we're never going to go to them dressed in the shoes of the gospel of peace. We're never going to go tell them. If we think they are our enemy, we will never be reconciled to brothers that hurt our feelings. We will never drop our bitternesses. If we think our battle is humans and they've done me wrong, I am never going to love them to Jesus Christ. And then I have a big problem because I'm called to do that. Paul writes in Ephesians then after the armor thing that you pray at all times in the Spirit. What does that mean? Means directed by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, moved by the Spirit. If you don't know how to pray, the Spirit will give you the words to pray. You pray according to the will of God. You pray with a clean heart. You pray fervently. You pray at all times. You pray evermore, and you rejoice, and you worship in your prayer. Anyway, so I get back from my walk, and I get a text message on my phone from this young man who's working with my husband. And he said, Ruthie, I forgot to tell you I wanted to give you this passage for you for today. I believe the Lord told me to give it to you. And it's another famous one that we don't like. Consider it all joy. But you know what? I didn't dislike it. Because what it says to me is there's meaning in this. You see, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. He's growing our faith. He's purifying our faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. For those that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. He's doing something good in us. He's removing idolatry from our hearts. He's answering our own prayers when we quiver and say, God, I know there's a fear of man in me, and I'm so sorry, and I'm so ashamed, but I'm asking you to deal with it in my heart. And he says, okay, I will. How is he going to do that most effectively? By allowing you to be afraid of man so you can see the deliverance of your God. I saw Jamie Wadley yesterday. She pulled into the driveway, and I ran out to hug her, and she just broke. And she was praising the Lord that her brother could see Jesus. She said, I think she said he was 18 years older than her. He walked her down the aisle because her dad had died when she was a little girl. And she was grieving and mourning, and I said, Jamie, what were you going to tell the ladies tomorrow? You know what she said? I was going to tell them about joy and hardship. And that's what your Lord wants you to know. There is joy to be had when people accuse you. There is joy to be had when your brother slash daddy dies. There is joy to be had when you're lied about, when there's dissension in the body, and it comes from going to the Lord, submitting your heart to him, standing in him, and remembering how big he is, that he is worthy to be praised. There is joy to be had, and he wants us to have that. Consider it all joy. My brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So that's my story. That's the way the Lord's been ministering to me. So I took the phone call, and a friend came over. She's one of the people that I asked to pray. And she called me. You know, the body of Christ is filled with the most beautiful gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this woman has an amazing gift, and it looks like beauty. Like, she's the one that knows how to make the most incredible gift baskets you've ever seen for a speaker, and unique. And she can just go, and then the table looks amazing. You guys, I've seen that here too. But she just has all these incredible gifts. She called me and she said, or she emailed me and she said, can I come over and just be with you during your phone call? And my first thought was, no, I'm a godly woman and I don't need help. Then I laughed at myself and I said, yes, you can. Be over here at this time. She walks in the door and she had pigtails. She's got short hair like mine. And all it looked like was bear ears, little puffs. Bloop. She never wears pigtails. Never, ever, ever. She had these two puffs and I looked at her and I said, you're wearing pigtails. And she said, I thought it'd be good for a chuckle. How'd she think of that? I would never do it. I'm too prideful. I'm not wearing pigtails for you. I don't care what anybody says. She did that because she thought I needed to laugh. And she proceeded to pray. We got done with the phone call, and I said, how do you think I did? She said, it was cool to see what it looks like to get to see angels surrounding a person when the enemy's surrounding a person. And my victory, you guys, is that I went out and I faced it. Now, it might be appeal. I don't know the outcome. I don't even care. That's not the battle. My battle was about standing. Anyway, the Lord is growing our faith, and he's doing something in our hearts, and he asks us to face things that we're afraid of, to do things that we're afraid of, so we can see him. And that's how it's going to be. This William Gurnall, I think is his name, that commentary talks about, you know, you don't take off your armor. You wear it until you're not clothed in flesh anymore. Because when you're standing in glory, you're going to be wearing those robes of righteousness. But right now we're wearing armor so we can stand against the wiles of the enemy. He hates your guts. He's vicious. He's ruthless. And he is condemned. His head is going to be crushed. And our job is to stand and worship. That's what we're going to do, huh? Now you apply that to your lives however the Holy Spirit shows you to. That's been my battle. It's a common one to man, which is why there's a ton of stuff about it in this book. Hold it to your hearts and look higher. Look higher, because that's where the battle is. And if you don't, you're going to lose. And you're going to cower. And you're going to be beat up. And you're going to lash out. You're going to try to fight back against nonsense. The Lord will. I've been vindicated before. He'll vindicate. That's his business. He was lied about too. Nobody was lied about more than Jesus Christ. Nobody. Father, I praise you for your size, your love, your heart. I praise you that your words are alive and they restore us. I praise you, Father, that you change us. You change our perspective when we worship you, when we look at you. I praise you that you do what we cannot do, and that you never wring your hands in worry or in fear, wondering, oh no, what will we do? Nothing is out of control. And we belong to you. I pray that you would refresh each woman here, restore her soul, Lord, strengthen her, give her courage, whatever she faces, Lord, whatever thing is out there looming in her life. Even if there are good things ahead that she can see that are exciting, I pray she would never trust in her own strength. Never. Lord, we don't know how to do this. We do not know what to do, but you do. And we praise you for that, Lord. We adore you for that, and we bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen.